This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Our guest for this conversation around World Environment Day is possibly one of the most appropriate people to talk to about environmental issues. A 2013 Archbishop Dudu African Oxford Fellow and a 2016 Mandela Washington Fellow, Catherine Constantinides' commitment and passion for social change takes her from the smallest communities in South Africa to global platforms, including the United Nations, global forums and platforms all over the world. She currently works as a human rights defender, actively engaging in Geneva at the UN Human Rights Council for the world's most marginalized and vulnerable. And Catherine has such a passion for the environment and making sure that we move into a more sustainable and equitable space. Catherine Constantinides, it's good to talk to you. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Thank you so much. It's an absolute honor to be chatting to you today.
So let's talk a little bit about World Environment Day. I mean, the day aims to promote awareness and action to protect the environment. What does this mean in a South African context, Catherine?
I think in a South African context, it's important for us to use days such as these to recommit to environmental sustainability, recommit to the small things that we can do as individual citizens. I think as a country, we have so many social challenges that we don't always connect ourselves to environmental challenges as well. But now more than ever, South Africa has a water crisis, an energy crisis. We have food insecurity in ways that we don't always really even understand because we live in bubbles in South Africa, be it in our community. Township, you don't always see the face of hunger. You don't always see the crisis of, sewage systems that don't work, lack of access to safe, clean drinking water, and the list goes on. But today's an opportunity for us to really realign and say, you know what, let me think of one small thing that I can do and that I can make a habit. Because if you look at the bigger picture, you feel almost overwhelmed and may do nothing. But it's the small things that we can do that really do have a big impact.
Absolutely. I mean, the day is observed globally by individuals, non-government organizations, governments, businesses worldwide. There are usually numerous activities and campaigns and events organized. How is it usually observed in South Africa?
Well, I'm very happy to tell you that I'm speaking to you from Orange Farm, and we've just planted 20 trees, and we have done a cleanup as well in line with the beat plastic pollution theme of this year's World Environment Day. And Orange Farm is a really important community to me, to the organizations that I work for. And so we have added 20 trees to the Orange Farm community where we've worked for almost 20 years. And so I think in South Africa, there are many different activities happening. Some are in line with the cleanups that are linked to this year's theme, but greening projects around the country I know are underway, and I'm very happy to have been part of that today on this special occasion.
I mean, that's very interesting. The old proverb around when the best time to plant a tree is yesterday, and the second best is right now. And that's a really important step, as you say, to greening South Africa once again. It does sometimes feel that any small efforts that we make may not be enough. How can we start to rethink that? Things like shutting the tap off when you're brushing your teeth. Things like, making sure that you sort your recycling, Catherine. How can we really encourage people that any small step makes a difference?
I think we have to understand that it is really the small efforts and changing our behavior. So if we can make small things like switching off the tap while we're washing our teeth, unplugging appliances that are not actually in use, we think that those things don't matter, but they actually add up. Think if 1 million people all did those things collectively, what an impact that would have. And so, you know, you replicate that and you realize that actually we can all have a huge impact. One thing I have to share is, you know, people leave their cell phone chargers in the wall. We leave our laptop plugs in the wall, our kettles plugged in, even when the water's not boiling or even when we're not charging our phone. However, it is pulling a current. And that's important for us to realize that we're actually still using electricity. So we need to start realizing that we need to go one step further. scratch at the surface of the things we do. Think about the kind of packaging that we're bringing into our home. How do we reuse, recycle, and give new life to some of those products that frequent our homes and become waste? But do we ever think about where away is when we're throwing something away?
Yeah.
And I think that we must think consciously also of the brands that we support and the brands that are conscious and make sustainable decisions as part of their entire ecosystem. And I think that that is what we can do on a day like today. But think of the small things that you can make habits. Don't bite off too much and that you can't chew and you then stop.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, it's World Environment Day. Let's discuss this. 0861 987 000. Sustainability efforts, greening efforts, recycling efforts. Where do you stand? Where do you put yourself in terms of your household, your office, making a difference to the environment? I mean, there's certain things that Catherine's just mentioned that I don't even know if I've even thought of. Keeping your cell phone charger plugged into the wall, keeping appliances plugged in. I mean, I suppose, of course, that does make a very, very big difference. So give me a call now on 0861 987 000. Another aspect now, which has been very much a part of the conversation, is around reducing greenhouse gas emissions, making sure that we're a little bit more sustainable in terms of that. What more can we do as regular South Africans to impact, our greenhouse gas emissions, Catherine? And then also, do you think that the various departments in government are doing enough to ensure that we are more compliant?
I think that, you know, for example, we all go and buy fruits and vegetables on a weekly basis. How many of us are conscious of the labels on those products? So many of us want to eat strawberries all year round, but we don't realize that there's a carbon footprint to eating strawberries all year round, or cherries, or any other delicious fruit, because those fruits have to be imported. Mm. Because it's not normal to have certain fruits and vegetables all year round. We should become more flexible and saying, you know what, I'm going to enjoy strawberries in strawberry season. I'm going to have apples when it's apple season. We should be supporting local farmer markets, local farmers who are producing within our communities. We need to start investing and changing our lifestyles, that we are investing in local communities so that carbon footprints are minimized in our daily lives as far as is possible. In South Africa, we've also got to be realistic. We can't just take, public transport. We don't have a huge rail system that we can go from one end of the country to another. These are realities as well, and there's social issues related to that. But we need to be a bit more conscious of, you know, the path that we drive each day, that journey. Is there anyone that we could pick up along the way that doesn't have to take their car to work? Carpooling with people that you're at work with is a reality. It's something you can actually do. Going to varsity, maybe you can pick up 2-3 people and you share the lift rides on a rotation basis every week. There's things that we can do for sure. And I think that we have to become more active as conscious consumers, ones that start to ask for certain things. We're the ones that demand all kinds of fruits throughout the year. Let us also start to demand that those that we support, the brands that we support, are actually quite intrinsically involved and committed to a sustainable biodiversity program, one that really talks to their values as a brand. And I think that, you know, once we start demanding that of the brands that we perhaps love and are not doing things as sustainably as we'd like, we start to make them become more, you know, they think differently. They become more conscious of what their audience wants and what consumers want. And I think that government really does need to do a lot more. We do have some good policies in place, but not enough is being done. And I think that we have huge challenges as a country. Right now, there are many difficulties. And I think the one thing that we have always tried to do as an organization and myself as an activist is to always ensure that we bring the social justice issues that we find ourselves in this country and wrap that up and bring with that the environmental challenges, because they are always much more intertwined than we realize. And I mentioned that earlier because often we think, you know, for example, today we planted trees, but we have planted trees in communities where we've had to be conscious that those trees may be cut down for wood because winter is brutal, and that's a reality. We have to be conscious of the fact that in our country, some people, unfortunately, a huge population is living from hand to mouth, and these bigger issues become almost insignificant. So we really need to start living a bit differently. We need to be a bit more conscious of the things that we can do. And I think that there are great opportunities for us to do that. We just have to take a little bit more time and a little bit more effort to try to do that. Corporate office blocks could offer recycling services to their employees. We don't have a waste management system that uses recycling as part of its waste stream. But we could be taking certain recyclables to our offices, and that could be collected on a weekly or bi-weekly basis. And that could be part of the sustainability pillar of a corporate. So there are so many things that one can do, but it takes conscious effort, deliberate effort, and it just takes a bit of time to start changing behavior and creating new habits.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, Catherine, because when you talk about getting your cherries all year round or your strawberries, it does come from, a certain sector of society who even considers cherries and strawberries as a staple. You know, there is this disparate kind of economic thing that we have in our country where hunger is such a very, very big issue. But there is also, merit to, if we are more environmentally conscious, we could even start bridging that gap and feeding more people, can't we?
Not only can we, but we must. I think it's really very, very important. And I think that if we become more conscious of our own, food footprint, I think that we could realize that we waste a lot. How many things, when you open your fridge, how often is there something that's gone off, or something you can't eat anymore because you left it, you left it too long or you bought it too late? There are so many ways that we could save on food wastage alone. And I think we need to become more conscious of the hunger reality that lives within our societies. You know, I've got a feeding scheme. We feed on a weekly basis. And what we don't realize is that hunger actually has a face, and it's a face of the people around you. We don't realize that people are in the office blocks that we work in, or in that varsity class we're sitting in the school next to our child, and they're actually starving. We need to become more active as citizens, and this is far greater and far beyond just World Environment Day, but we need to do much more. We know better, and we need to be doing better.
And what about the load shedding issue? Talk to us about, how being more environmentally conscious could even start making an impact on the fact that we don't have sufficient electricity from burning coal.
Look, I must tell you, one thing that I constantly am reminded of is South Africans are one intensely resilient nation. Load shedding is not normal. It is not normal for us to have the kind of power outages that we currently have. It's important for us to all realize we have to just do our part. We have to start becoming more efficient in the way that we live. We need to be able to schedule and plan and be flexible around our commitments and plans, because we're now living in a space where everything revolves around, I've got load shedding, or, I'm not going to be able to be online at this time, or, we've got load shedding, and I'm not sure if I'm going to have signal or not, because that's also a reality, because batteries are not lasting like they were, because they're being depleted by this energy crisis we find ourselves in. But we also have to start realizing that investing in renewable energy is important, and it's a long-term investment. Yes, it's expensive, and yes, it's something that, as South Africans, we're going to grapple with, because with the expenses of our everyday lives becoming more and more expensive, and we're not getting more wages or more salary, we have to stretch our money so much further. But what we're not realizing is that South Africa is really far behind. And this is a very sad reality. I was at the Change Now conference in France recently, and I realized in the last 5 years, and I don't know if it's because of COVID or not, but in the last 5 years, South Africa's almost slip backwards again. And when you look at the different innovations, the creativity, the commitment by small enterprises, large corporates, Moët & Chandon, the sustainability imperatives that have become part of who they are as a brand, you realize South Africa has a lot of work to do. But it's going to take commitment. We need a collective effort from society, business, government, and citizens. And we need to realize this is the situation we find ourselves in. We need to now work on how we move forward. But renewable energy as part of our energy mix is important. We can't be extreme. We can't just remove coal. And that's also reality. As much as it's an ideal, it's not an ideal that works for this country. And so we've got to say, well, where do we rely on coal and where can we actually bring in renewable energy interventions? How do we bring those external suppliers into the grid that actually benefit coal? And I think that these are important conversations from a government perspective that need to be really, you know, we need to have urgent interventions here. And these conversations are being had, but just not at the speed that we would like.
Well, thank you very much for your insights, Catherine Constantinides. Where can we follow you and find out, for example, if we'd like to support the feeding scheme or come with you to plant some trees or be inspired by the work that you do?
Thank you so much. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter or TikTok. Change Agent SA is the name. If you do search my name is very long for those accounts, so just find me on Change Agent SA, or if you search my name, you'll find it. And thank you for the opportunity to chat to you on this important day, Pabi.
Wonderful. That's Catherine Constantinides, humanitarian, South Africa's earth warrior, environmental and climate activist, and she also calls herself the guardian of the oceans, passionate about sustainability, waste and H2O.
Tweet Pabi at Pabi Moloi and hashtag Power Lunch.
Well, we continue our conversation on World Environment Day, and we are joined now by the Minister of the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment, Minister Barbara Creasy. It's good to talk to you today. Maybe we'll start here. How does the department plan to mark this day, Minister?
Good afternoon to you and greetings to all your listeners. Well, today we have been visiting recycling facilities in Cape Town, and we've just concluded a beach cleanup at Macassar. We're focusing on the World Environment Day theme today, which is beach plastic pollution. And I think that it's been an extremely interesting day. We began by visiting a project called Waste Want, that is responsible for sorting and baling household waste, plastics, paper, tins, glass. And from there, we visited another project called Resonate, which is a project, an experimental project, that is looking at including plastic in the manufacturing of concrete. And they are currently producing bricks and also pavers and curbstones that have got a 5 to 10% plastic content instead of stone. And these bricks and pavers meet the SABS standards. And it's a very interesting experiment because it's one of the ways in which we can create demand for plastic waste. We've got a significant reclaiming and recovery and waste diversion from landfill. But one of the problems we face going forward is what is the demand for reused plastic? So we were very interested to see the incorporation of this product in building material.
So how can the public get involved in supporting the department's efforts, particularly around pollution and some of the thematic efforts to protect the environment in South Africa?
Well, I think the first thing is that all of us have a responsibility not to consume what we call single-use plastics. We've been working hard with the fast-moving food industry to try and ensure that when you get your favorite takeaway, you get a paper cup, a paper food box, and wooden or recycled material eating implements. I think this is something that's really important. When you go and do your shopping, please take your own bags. Plastic bags are unfortunately known as our national flower because they dot our country and really spoil our environment. I think, of course, there's a whole number of ways in which you can promote recycling in your own home. You can separate your waste, you can take your plastic, glass and other goods to shopping centers and other dump sites. And of course, you can teach your children and your family members not to chuck waste out of car windows and out of your back door into the environment.
Well, that's where we'll leave it. Thank you very much, Minister Barbara Creasy. That's the Minister of the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment. We spent this half hour talking about World Environment Day, which is today, the 5th of June.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.